What is our relationship to this illumination or light that Jesus and other teachers speak of as penetrating this world of forms and bodies? I talked about this a little bit, I guess, a couple weeks ago when I talked about things like healing and time. And I reminded you that time, at least according to Einstein and many other religious thinkers too, doesn't really exist. Something we make up in our heads. Last week, my friend Rob Geyer talked about this a little bit when he spoke about a mystical or spiritual experience he had, and then shared the message that came along with that experience of his. A message about what happens with unlimited or divine love moving through Jesus. Love that healed the man in the story as he shared the story of Legion. I know Rob. Rob's a really bright guy. But the insight did not come from Rob's linear thinking. It simply showed up in the consciousness that was his. An illumination. I had fun listening to the talk on the website. It was both very inspiring and also felt healing. It also occurred to me that some people in this congregation probably were a little uncomfortable because he talked a lot about Jesus. And unfortunately, in many churches, people get beat up with very punitive, judgmental images of Jesus. I think it's pretty unfair. I think it's pretty sad, but it does happen. I invite any of you to stick with me today because I'm going to talk a little bit more about him. Maybe we can find some healing around that, a different understanding. Others may have been very delighted to hear a message that acknowledged and reminded us all of that powerful radiance, that illumination that moved through the man that we remember as Jesus. It's interesting, we all have our own understandings of the people in our Bible, including Jesus. My present understanding of the man Jesus comes from a whole bunch of different sources. Some of it comes through contemporary religious scholars like Marcus Borg and Elaine Pagels, people who offer insights into, the historic Jesus, a non-dogmatic and heartfelt connection with the presence of Jesus. You'll find some of their books in our bookstore and also in our library. Mark Borg or Elaine Pagels, two great contemporary religious scholars from mainstream universities who will offer you some very interesting insights. Of course, Unity has always spoken of Jesus as a way shower, a teacher, a vehicle through which a divine or higher consciousness shone into the world of seemingly limited solid forms. That was very helpful for me. A Course in Miracles was another helpful way of understanding Jesus. Of course, it claims Jesus is its source. It speaks of Jesus as an elder brother, as someone who has penetrated the illusions and the confusion of what seems to be a world, a solid world, and reestablished full connection with God-mind. Of course, stories and experiences from people like Rob and others I meet help me understand a little more. As I get a little more of that understanding. One of the surprising sources that I mention occasionally that's helped me understand a little more about Jesus are people like Ram Dass and Krishna Dass and other students of an Indian teacher who was known as the Neem Karoli Baba. Just a teacher is what it basically means. He teacher that passed away in the 70s. He's a teacher that taught love, taught exactly that it's all love. But one of the things that really seemed to baffle, and this was very helpful for me, one of the things that seemed to baffle his Western students that came over to India to study with him was the fact that this guy seemed to already know everything about them, even before they met him. He knew everything about them. He knew all that they thought. He knew all that they'd done. He knew everything. And his response to that knowing and that awareness, because no one wants someone to know everything about him. Think about that. Think about how that would feel if you knew someone knew everything about you. Everything. This teacher's response to them was consistent. He loved them. No judgment, no differentiation. Really confused these guys, messed with their heads. I think that's what the disciples experienced in the presence of Jesus. I really do. That's why that was helpful for me in beginning to understand what the disciples might have experienced with someone like Jesus, who is aware and yet loved. Period. Period. Wow. It's interesting. Jesus not only says, "I am the light of the world." Sounds a little egocentric, maybe. Hopefully not. You know, whoever follows me, whoever follows my teachings will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He not only said that, but he also said, "You are the light of the world. And a city built on a hill can't be hidden," he follows that up with. "Your very nature is light," illumination, divine illumination. It's interesting because he says that not just to his disciples, not just to the guys he picked. He says it to the whole crowd that he's teaching. The same people that he said, "Fortunate are you who are poor, fortunate are you who are meek." He says, "You're the light of the world." Everybody. He says it to us. Each of us is the light of the world. And a city built on a hill, that light cannot be hidden. If we read on into the Gospel of Thomas, authentic Jesus sayings discovered in the 40s, he offers another teaching about light. It starts off, "Anyone here with ears had better listen. There's a light within a person of light, and it shines on the whole world. If it doesn't shine, it's dark. If it doesn't shine, it's dark." I interpret that to mean if we ignore or reject that light that's present in us, or maybe present in others, our world will seem pretty dark. Pretty dark. I'm the light of the world. You're the light of the world. If we attempt to deny or suppress that inner radiance, we will seem to be lost in what seems to be darkness. So if light, symbolically, and I assume Jesus is clearly not talking about light bulbs or the sun, if light represents illumination or spiritual understanding, and that is the light of the world, what's the darkness? What's the darkness represent? Maybe our fears, maybe our doubts, our ideas of competition. We are in competition. We're separate. Maybe the places we feel stuck, or our thought that maybe we are somehow, out of all of God's creation, we are somehow undeserving. Or out of all the perfection that's out there, we are somehow hopeless. Now, that could be darkness. I would be really careful not to claim any of these things for myself. And I'd be really careful not to claim any of those things for anybody else either. Because whatever we claim for others, we get. At least until we stop claiming it for the others. I believe the truth is that there's absolutely nothing that can actually dim that light that's present in us. It's always there. It's always shining. But if our minds get so busy focusing on other things, dim beliefs, we can lose track of it. We can lose sight of it temporarily. And our world does feel dark, or at least dim. So then the question becomes, when we're feeling like, "Oh man, I'm stuck in the dark again," what do we do to make shifts? How do we begin working with that? Well, there might be a hint in the Gospel of Matthew, because right after Jesus says, "You're the light of the world," he makes the comment that no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a basket, covers it up, or obscures it. Instead, they put it on a lampstand so it can shine light through the whole house. So it gives light to the whole house. What might that story be about? There's actually a story behind that. If you lived 2,000 years ago, you would live in the same house with all of your extended family. I want you to take a moment and think about that. Just imagine all of your extended family living all together in one house. And if you're a woman, you would be married into a family, and you would live with all of your in-laws. That would be your experience. Got the image? All right, so now we're on the page. All right, by the way, this house 2,000 years ago doesn't have a bunch of separate little rooms or suites for each little family group there. Everybody's sharing all the space. And it doesn't have modern lighting. In fact, it doesn't have any kind of central lighting. People had little bitty oil lamps. Think of a little pot of oil with a wick and a little candle flame. And that's what lit up the house. So wherever your family or your part of the family group was, you'd light your little lamp and it would make a little light where you were. That would be nice. But you know, sometimes when you would live with your whole extended family, people might not treat you the way you expected to be treated. They might actually treat you pretty nasty sometimes. So maybe you're lighting your little lamp at night and you're thinking, I don't like them so much, those people there beside me. So I'm going to set my basket over here beside my lamp. So my light will shine into my part of the house, but it won't shine into yours. You want light over in your part of the house? Go buy your own oil. Get your own lamp. Use that basket that we use for carrying our grain or our bread or whatever to kind of shade, as a lampshade, to kind of divert the light into my part of the house and forget you. Go buy your own oil. Or maybe that part of the family beside you that hadn't been too nice to you, that was now in the shade, maybe they didn't have any oil for their lamp. Serves them right, huh? Serves them right. Not sharing my light with you. Can you get into that kind of thinking? I know you can. Absolutely every one of us can. Absolutely every one of us can. So now it would seem like you're getting all the light and they're not getting any. Which would mean a couple things. One, it would mean they were in the dark. It would mean you couldn't see them very well. You literally couldn't see them very well, and it would also mean that, spiritually speaking, you're not seeing them very well. Right? Yeah, absolutely. They would be in the dark because you were being unwilling to shine your light or share your light with them. And of course, now that you're engaged in sharing darkness or shadows with them instead of light, you're going to start having more trouble recognizing the light in you, right? Because you're now engaged in the practice of sharing darkness or shadow rather than being the light of the world. Exactly. There's a light inside a person of light. It shines on the whole world. If we don't let it shine, it feels pretty dark in us. So I bet we can all think of situations where we have decided to share darkness or shadows instead of letting our light shine. Maybe family members, maybe other situations. How'd that work for you? As they say, how'd that work for you? How did those situations work out for you? How are those relationships going? Part of what triggered me to talk about the light of the world was a daily lesson I was doing out of my Course in Miracles book a couple weeks ago. And the lesson was, I am the light of the world. Well, the Course comes from the Jesus teaching, so not a big surprise that you're going to get the same teaching. The lesson goes on to say, I'm the light of the world. That's my only function. That's why I'm here. I'm the light of the world. It's my only function. It's why I'm here. That's what it invited me to focus on, to be that light. Well, that actually sounds pretty good. You know, I'm the light of the world. It's my function. It's why I'm here. Feels good, right? The very next lesson invites us to affirm forgiveness is my function as the light of the world. Forgiveness is my function as the light of the world. Here's a little bit of the text from that lesson. I found it pretty helpful. It is your forgiveness that will bring the world of darkness to the light. It is your forgiveness that lets you recognize the light in which you see. Forgiveness is the demonstration that you are the light of the world. Through your forgiveness does the truth about yourself return to your memory. Therefore, in your forgiveness lies your salvation. Illusions about yourself and the world are one. They are the same. That is why all forgiveness is a gift to yourself. Your goal is to find out who you are, having denied your true identity by mentally attacking creation and its creator. Now you are learning how to remember the truth. For this, attack must be replaced by forgiveness, so that thoughts of life may replace thoughts of death. Remember that in every attack, you call upon your own weakness, while each time you forgive, you call upon the strength of the Christ in you. Do you not then begin to understand what forgiveness will do for you? It will remove all sense of weakness, of strain, and fatigue from your mind. It will take away all fear and guilt and pain. I put that in the back of the bulletin right above today's affirmation. We find exactly the same message in the Bible. It's included in the Lord's Prayer with a comment about forgiveness. And later in Luke, Jesus simply says, "Forgive and you will be forgiven. You will find forgiveness." So the reminder for today is, I am the light of the world, and you are the light of the world, each one. Just like Jesus, we have been created to be the light of the world. It's our only function. It's why we're here, to shine light, to express spiritual light. How do we begin doing that, making the shift? Well, in both the Bible and the Course, it suggests forgiveness. Forgiveness is a primary function for each and every light of the world. It's our forgiveness that brings light, illumination, and healing, and definitely healing, into a world that often seems pretty dark. And if we actually want to get more personal about it, it is my forgiveness, my willingness to acknowledge and share light that will bring me out of darkness. True for each and every one of us. My forgiveness, my willingness to acknowledge and share light gets me out of the dark. So I put a simple little affirmation in the back of the bulletin. It simply says, "My forgiveness reveals the light of the world to me." Let's share that together. Together we say, "My forgiveness reveals the light of the world to me." And again, "My forgiveness reveals the light of the world to me." One more time. "My forgiveness reveals the light of the world to me." Close your eyes and let that settle in for a second. Doesn't say how we have to forgive. Doesn't say we have to do it perfectly. Doesn't set any standard. Simply says, let go. Let go of the thoughts that are not the light of the world. Let go of the sharing of shadows. Let go of the idea of covering the light with the basket. Competition. Let go. Let go. Release the thoughts. Whatever it takes. So that the light of the world can shine through you. Each of us was created to be like a very brilliant candle. That can never go out. Can never go out. Designed to share that radiance with everything and everyone around us. And as we choose to claim that truth for ourselves, to acknowledge that there is a radiance in everyone around us, and that's part of forgiving, just to acknowledge that there is a radiance present in them and that we can see it, to be willing to see it. Then we move out of the world of darkness or dimness and we begin to experience light. Light in the most unlikely places. Light in the most unlikely places. I am the light of the world. We are the light of the world. And as we forgive, the light of the world shows up all around us. And we are healed. So let's open our eyes and share that affirmation together again. Together we say, my forgiveness reveals the light of the world to me. One more time. My forgiveness reveals the light of the world to me. May you have fun working with that this week. It's in the back of your bulletin along with the little reading out of the course. And now I can say it. May you have a delightful week.